It's Friday. Or is it? This is the Teach Computing podcast that goes out every Friday. And you're listening to me, Alan O'Donoghue. I'm Techno Teacher on Twitter, T-E-K-N-O Teacher. Now, actually, it's not Friday tonight. It's Monday, and we're at the second Raspberry Jam in Preston this month. It's Monday the 31st of March. And there's about 30, 40 people here tonight. People of all sorts of different ages and backgrounds, and there's lots of things like Minecraft and Raspberry Pi. And I'm going to go and snoop and listen into what's going on here.
So you're in it, your name, you're out there. That's it. And then just tick these boxes and submit. So now you're setting up the app, a new app.
So it won't publish to the App Store yet.
No, not yet.
Phew!
Now, Josh.
Yes?
I'm recording this. Tell me, what is it you're trying to do at the moment?
Well, I've got a game, I've edited it, I made the pig do faster, jump faster, and make the game more harder by an impossible world and level, and at the minute I want to make an Android app with it.
Wow, so I saw you at the start of our Raspberry Jam tonight, you talked about your Pigs My Fly game. It looked a bit like another game I've seen before.
Yeah, there's this really popular, or shall I say, there was this really popular app on the App Store called Flappy Bird, but I think people just got crazy with it and smashed the phones and
gosh,
had stupid things about it, had goes at each other, and it got deleted, so I want to make a clone of the game and make it better, and hopefully it will go good.
So you keep saying hopefully, and I could say yes, but pigs might fly.
Yeah. Could.
Josh, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself? How old are you?
10.
10 years old?
Yeah.
So have you learned how to do this kind of stuff at school?
I came to one of the hack jams here, and I went on one of the pies, and it really inspired me to get one. So I decided for my 10th birthday that I would get a pie, and I looked at the School Pie Club website, and I downloaded the Scratch, but it didn't work.
Oh no.
So I signed myself up to a Scratch account on the Scratch website, and I found this game and I edited it.
Gosh. And now you're trying to create it as an Android app.
Yeah.
So Jacob sat next to you. So if Jacob had an Android phone, he'd be able to test out your game on his phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly possible.
Yeah. So I'm looking on your screen. At the moment, we're not on a Raspberry Pi. We're on a laptop, and it looks like you've signed in something called BuzzTouch.
Yeah. Michelle told me about it.
Right, I'm going to talk to Michelle now for a moment. So Michelle, we've talked to you before on this podcast.
Yep.
Now, you're not a teacher.
No, I'm not.
But you're doing lots of things that teachers will find interesting in a school. And
yeah.
You said you teach. You work at a school in Leyland.
Yep, I do.
And this is where you run the School Pie Club.
School Pie Club. So promoting Raspberry Pis and computer coding and just trying to get students involved in anything that interests them with regards to technology.
Are the teachers frightened of what you're doing, or have they actually said, because you run this club at lunchtimes?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, IT teachers have spoken to me about it.
No.
Believe it or not. No.
Oh dear.
No.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of on my own.
Okay.
I don't mind that.
No.
We're doing really well.
Yeah.
So, but yes. Yeah, so Josh asked me tonight about how to create an app from his game. So I'm just introducing him to BuzzTouch, which is what I started to use when I was first looking into Android and iPhone apps. So you could do both on BuzzTouch. So we're just looking at an account, and it is kind of drag and drop, and there's plugins to do different features, RSS feeds, images, Lots of different plugins that you'll find and on the
this,
site.
How much does this cost, BuzzTouch?
There is different pricing bands, but there is a free one, and I think it's three apps that you get.
Right.
But the plugins, some of those are free, and some of them are paid. You can get like credits. You can put credits on your account. But for Josh, what he wants to look at and look into, he'll be able to create a free account and have a go. And if he wants to take it from there, he can.
So, once you create an app using BuzzTouch, are you limited? Do you have to use it through BuzzTouch or
no? You don't. You download the source code, which you can import the source code into the Android Development Tools, the SDK, or Xcode.
And you could use a tool like Eclipse.
Tweak it. Tweak it as you want. Yeah.
Brilliant. So Josh, what's going to happen next? What do you think we'll be seeing next year? You're getting your pigs might fly. It says it's created it successfully. What do you think is going to happen next?
Well, maybe it comes up with a download for something. Okay. I don't know.
And in the future, are you going to become an Android developer?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
Do you want to make lots of money after selling apps?
Well, I don't really mind about the whole money sign.
Right.
I just want to make apps that people will enjoy.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you very much, Josh and Michelle. And Michelle, you're on Twitter. You're at Tweety Michelle. Tweety underscore Michelle.
And I'm on Instagram. I'll post loads of photos of the game. And it's at MrPig603.
Brilliant. And School Pie Club is at
School
Pie
Club.
PICLUB.
That's the one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you now find me in Hull, and I'm walking along Marketplace on my way to a hardware, sort of hacking Arduino type group at the Centre for Digital Innovation, which is where the fruit market is in Hull. So it's been a busy few days, just going to cross a busy road, and that's two busies in the same sentence. So this week, Monday, Tuesday, such a regular teaching days, and then spent Wednesday in Stoke at the Cooperative Academy in Stoke. And first time I was there, it was meeting lots of teachers, some of whom are teaching GCSE computing and some who've yet to embark upon that, but they were mainly secondary school specialists, and showed them some of the usual things, like, for example, Play My Code, a little bit of an introduction to Scratch, and then some basic input and output within Python. Then it was hop into the car and drive across the Peak District, Derbyshire, over to Hull. And then today in Hull, I suppose a bit more East Riding in Wellerby. And there was a conference today, ICT 2014, and I got to meet a few people there. Like Bob Harrison was there, and Julian Coltas. Julian, somebody I've never met before. Lots of great ideas he had about using the iPads in teaching. And my purpose today was to run two workshops all around the Raspberry Pi. So each workshop was 1 hour long. And in each of the workshops, we had about 30 to 40 teachers. So I borrowed all the Raspberry Pis from my school, and first part was what's the Raspberry Pi, what's the point of it, who's got one? And although some people had one, there was quite a significant number of people hadn't actually done anything with their Raspberry Pi. So the first thing we did was to find some of the existing games that come provided with it in Scratch, and to start trying to improve those games, hack them and change them. But some of the challenges to begin with were making sure all the hardware was connected properly to boot it up, get it into the X Windows graphic user interface, and then make changes. And today partly because there was more teachers than there were Raspberry Pis, but mainly because I like to get learners to collaborate and cooperate together. We had people working in pairs and threes, driving and navigating, and when we had a third person, I had a number of different roles I created for them, and we kept rotating every few minutes. And then again, we looked at basic input and output using Python, and then teleporting in Minecraft was about as much as you could really fit into an hour. And then with all the sort of question and answering that was going on, the people wanted to know what you could do. So that finished today. Oh, and I did there was a keynote I did at the end, which was to give teachers lots of different ideas. So I did a few things. I used Mozilla Hackosaurus to show, I hacked one of the, or changed one of the BBC news pages. It was talking about pollution and changed it into a news story that lots of the schools around the northeast were going to shut because of the pollution, which wasn't true. I was just trying to show how you can use digital tools like that to modify things and what happens when these tools get into the wrong hands. So I've arrived at the building. I just need to get the right floor. This is the Centre for Digital Innovation Beta in Hull. And just going through the security to get up to the next floor. And I came here a few weeks ago when I was last working in Hull. And they had they have lots of events happening in Hull. And there's a startup space. And the door is opening upstairs, so I'm going to pause this for now. Expect exactly. And it's recording. So I'm upstairs now at the Centre for Digital Innovation. And I think I've bumped into two teachers. Two? Oh, just one. Okay, so just one teacher. So what's your name and why are you here?
I'm Jason. I'm here to learn a bit more about Arduino, about integrating programming with hardware devices and that sort of thing.
Yeah? So how did you find out about this?
I've just spent a year at university being taught by one of the people runs this event. And so I'd known about C4DI for a while, and so I thought I'd come out.
So is this whole university?
Yeah.
So you've been doing like a Python programming course?
I've just been doing a Master's in Computer Science.
Oh, that's a bit more than a Python programming course. Yeah.
So yeah, I've had a year off work and just been doing that for a year. It's been great.
Wow. Okay, now we've met before at, we had a Raspberry Jam at Andrew Marvell College a few weeks ago. Did you get anything from that in any way? Or
It gave us some ideas of how we can use Raspberry Pi with some of the students that we hadn't done before. We're new to using Raspberry Pi in the school, so yeah, so we took some good ideas from that.
But here just in front of you, you've got an Arduino,
The
Arduino Uno.
Yes.
Do you see that it's different than the Raspberry Pi? Better, worse, or...? You're not sure?
I'm not sure, really. Yeah. It's just we're trying to bring in a unit with the six formers.
Sure.
Where we've got to control systems, and we don't know whether a Raspberry Pi or Arduino is the way to go with that. So we're just really finding out as much about both as we can.
And is there a whole lot of stuff like this happening in Hull, or is this just like the only...
This seems to be the only place at the moment, but you know, we're going to make the school one of those centres where this happens.
So have you got a particular project in mind? Is this something you're aiming towards, like a destination?
Well, in our computer science program, I'm trying to do some stuff with Python and the Raspberry Pi, where we're using software to control, you know, games to control hardware devices and lights and that sort of thing.
So you've got a club in your school?
Yes,
we have. Is that like every lunchtime, Tuesday afternoons?
2 days a week,
right.
Soon to be 3 days a week, where we've got kids from all across the years coming along and doing some interesting stuff with computer science.
Is it all like geeky boys that turn up?
It's not geeky boys at all. It's mainly girls. It's mainly sort of year 7, year 8 girls who come along. We're doing wearable electronics with the Adafruit.
Gemma. Oh, right, I've not heard of this. I've seen there's one called Lily Pads, like a little round one, but Gemma's something different.
It's just like that, yeah.
Right.
So we're doing the wearable electronics with this Gemma or Lily Pad.
Right,
And thing that's going on. We've got some of the kids doing Flappy Bird with Python and Pygame, which is really good. We've got all sorts of things happening.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you very much. Okay. So, we're muttering and it's recording our mutterings. So, can I ask, who are you?
I'm Ella.
Okay, Ella. And I'm Alan. What are you doing here? What's this all about tonight?
I've come here to try and learn a bit more about programming and working with building electronic circuits and trying to make the program do something.
So, is this like a future career, an ambition or something?
No, it's purely for fun. I'm a home educator and I'd like to encourage my children to dabble a bit more with both programming and electronics, and if I, by becoming better at it myself, I'll be able to encourage them
But if you're a home educator, you don't have somebody dictating to you, Ella, you have to teach your children this, that and the other. So why would you, this looks tough, why would you choose something so tough and challenging?
I think it's part of the way that society is moving, and
but surely things should be easy. I mean, look at the iPod and the iPad. You just got one button, you switch it on, and it just works. Shouldn't we be giving our children an easy life?
I think it's important to know how things work and why things work, and I think that you can use a computer and have no idea about what it's doing, and obviously computers are very much part of the way that we live, and I think that by both understanding both the electronics and how they're built and what's going on, and the programming side of it, to be able to actually make it do things that you want to do, I think is really important.
Wow. So, and your children, they're sort of in their teens, are they?
No, they're only seven. Well, I have 7, 5 and 1.
Gosh. So you've got the 1-year-old already building stuff with Arduinos.
Well, he likes to think so.
Right, okay. Now, I'm looking, you've got like a workbook in front of you that's been provided by Hull University Department of Computer Science. This looks pretty tough stuff. Is it? Is it a real challenge?
I think it's maybe more scary looking than it is.
Right.
Well, I understand the electronic drawings, which can look a bit frightening.
But this is like, some of this is like O-level or GCSE physics kind of circuit diagrams.
It should be quite obvious to people who I think have done science.
And do you know what you're actually aiming to build at the moment?
We've got a flexi sensor, and we're going to try and get it to talk to, presumably measure
flex.
Flex. Yeah.
So it looks like a type of resistor that, as you bend it has like ways of measuring how much it's been bent.
So be careful when you work with that, because the pins at the bottom are quite fragile. You want to just bend the stripey bit.
Okay.
I've got a little support.
Okay. That's really helpful. I see though what he's talking about. So you've got this cute tiny little red breadboard, because these, when I've seen them, they're normally white or cream and bigger. But this looks, it's got like a nice sort of cuteness about it, because sometimes these things look a bit scary. And this is this called wiring? Do you know this programming language?
I'm trying not to think of it as random letters. I'm sure it all makes sense. It's going to make sense by the time I leave home, leave here today.
Well, I'm going to wish you the very best of luck. And
Thank you.
Looking really keen to see when your 1, 5 and 7-year-old are saying, Mummy, look what we're going to blow the house up with all these Arduinos and things.
Awesome.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, can I ask you who you are and why you're here?
My name is Peter Robinson. I'm a lecturer in computer science at Hull University. And I'm here because I've written tonight's tutorial on the Arduino and using the analog inputs of the Arduino to make essentially a small game, target shooting game, that you can fire Nerf darts at.
So do you work with undergraduates?
Yes.
Or just undergraduates?
Some postgraduates as well, yes.
Okay. And this is quite a mixed audience. I'm looking around today. It looks like we've got high school children, sixth formers, home educators, there's some teachers I've met before. There's all sorts of different mix. Hello.
Hello.
Just recording a little interview for a podcast, and we're just discussing what's going on in this. So is there like an objective of tonight's session?
There is an objective, and that objective is to teach people about some of the technology that's involved in the Arduino. We've encouraged people to buy Arduino kits, and we've had a very generous donation of a number from a local company. And people are coming here to learn about hardware hacking and to build small devices.
Now, it seems at the moment like there's this great big buzz all about the Raspberry Pi in education. Why have you chosen the Arduino rather than the Raspberry Pi as a platform?
The Raspberry Pi is very much a computer with some input-output devices. Mm-hmm. We're going to a lower level where the processor on the Arduino is much more of an embedded processor. It doesn't have a display, it doesn't use a keyboard directly. You can make it do those things, but it doesn't by itself. So it's much closer to the metal. It's programming hardware, it's hacking things that work. And that's a little bit more complicated on a Raspberry Pi. Raspberry Pi is very good for other things, but for this simple level of stuff, the Arduino is excellent.
And I'm looking at some of the materials that you've produced for tonight. This looks like you've put a huge amount of effort into planning it and...
Well,
Do you have like a long-term goal in mind? Is this like something that goes on over 6 or 8 weeks or something?
No, yeah. We're in it for the long term,
right.
But we haven't planned it all out.
Right.
Rob Miles, who was here a moment ago, right. He did the first week. I've done the second week. Perhaps somebody else will do the third week. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. So have you promoted this amongst your own students? Are they coming along, or are they staying clear altogether?
There are a couple of our students here. We do mention it from time to time. But we don't want to swamp this gathering with just university students.
And are there lots of other things like this happening around Hull that you're
not
aware
of? Not that I'm aware of, no.
It's a nice quiet atmosphere, but busy at the same time. And I love how there's a real cross-section of backgrounds, people who, this is very closely related to their own work, and there's people who, it's nothing at all, they just come here out of pure interest.
Well, it's grown out of the Hull Digital meetups that John Moss and friends have organised. And it's kind of leading towards something that Rob and I have been wanting to do for quite a while, which is to set up a hackerspace, somewhere where we can have a workshop that anybody can become a member of and can come along and use facilities that you just can't afford to buy as an individual, but you need from time to time to make stuff.
Now I'm going to test you on something. Have you heard of an organisation called Computing at School?
No.
Oh, okay, right. So
I'm embarrassed now.
No, that's okay. So there's an organisation called Computing at School. It's a charitable organisation. They receive funding from the British Computing Society, Google, the Council for Professors of Heads of Computing from universities. And they've partnered up with some of the universities who are putting on CPD programmes for teachers. Now, some of the teachers I've spoken to tonight said they've been taking part in a Python programming course.
Yes, and it's Rob that runs those.
Ah, okay. So I was going to ask if you were involved in that, but you haven't heard of it.
No, I'm not involved in it, but Rob is very heavily involved in it. Yeah.
Well, Peter, thank you very much, and I wish you the very best of the endeavours of the Arduino. Tell me who you are, please.
So I'm Mike, and I run the hardware meetup here at Hull Digital and C4DI in Hull.
How long has this been running for? A couple of years now?
Just 3 or 4 sessions now. We've had an introductory couple of sessions, and at the moment what we're running is a series of Arduino programming sessions, just to get people playing around with hardware. So they're starting from scratch. Everybody started off with the same kit, so we can sort of produce standard lessons around that kit and get people from knowing nothing, but you know, within a few minutes to having a kit running, LEDs flashing and seeing results.
Yeah, a lot of people who listen to this podcast are teachers, but I'm guessing you're a developer?
I'm a developer, yeah. I mean, I have lots of teachers in the family, so I'm not entirely clean. But
you must have a stack of work you could be doing now instead of being giving up your evening doing this. What drives you or motivates you to do this?
I think it's just it's fascinating to see such interest in an area, you know, an area that you yourself are interested in. This is probably our most popular meetup, and it's become so very quickly. All of the other meetups we do a whole range, tend to be active practitioners, so working developers, that kind of thing. But here at the hardware meetup, we've just got a whole range of different people, from homeschooling parents to pupils at the local school, to lots of people who've just come along and are just interested in tinkering around and learning how the electronics around them work.
It's fantastic. There's a real buzz here, and I don't just mean from the pizza sounders on the breadboards, but there is a mix-up. I'm guessing these children here are sort of high school, and it looks like we've got some sixth formers, and we had teachers earlier. Where is this heading? Where do you see this developing in, like, next couple of months? Or
I think there's a lot of directions it could go in. I mean, we certainly have some plans. I don't want to sort of tip our hand on that one, because it could go in many different directions. But there's been such a high degree of interest in it. I think what we'll end up doing is developing a whole series of different streams. We've got the Arduino stream. We probably do something on Raspberry Pis, something on radios. Everybody likes playing with robots. And slowly sort of build people up into tackling ever more complex, well, not complex, but more interesting challenges. And building their skills.
When I first arrived tonight, Mike, you were buzzing about something that you'd done on your Raspberry Pi. You were talking about an FM transmitter.
Yeah, that was just a little thing I'd seen on the internet a little while ago. Somebody's made the Raspberry Pi with no additional hardware transmit FM.
So there's no, they haven't like plugged the transmitter in or anything
there's
like that?
No transmitter, there is just nothing. It's just a Raspberry Pi with a single wire plugged into one of the GPIO pins as a basic antenna. If you Google for Pi FM, you'll find it. and a little bit of C source code, and you just feed it a WAV file, and it transmits FM. And I think the reason I was just jumping around with that is I had to try it.
You couldn't believe how easy it was to get it to work, and with the fact that the way it works as well.
I mean, it was very easy to get to work. I've read the code, and I'm sure it wasn't at all easy to write. It's one of those things that shouldn't be possible, and that is a hack in the true sense of the word, of making something do something it was never designed to do by really understanding in depth how it works.
Earlier tonight, I recognised with a few teachers that I've met at some of the Raspberry Jam events that we've been organising at Hull. But you yourself, you're doing some other things to support teachers. Do you want to just tell us a little bit more about that? Does a web page that people can go and visit?
We've got a web page, computingforteachers.com.
Is that F-O-R, computing
for teachers?
It's not the number four.
No. It's the word for.
Yeah.
And that's really to sort of support teachers who find themselves now having to teach the new computing curriculum come September. There's obviously a very different approach to computing as a subject compared to the old ICT curriculum. And what we're trying to do is get teachers particularly, excited about the subject. So they're not just ticking boxes, but are really interested and excited themselves in what they're teaching, because I think that will make for much more engaging lessons.
And is that just for teachers in Hull and East Riding, or...?
Well, it's anybody. I mean, we've got a wide range of people who've signed up for the mailing list and so on. And in fact, the majority of them are outside Hull, so anybody's very welcome to come along.
Now, another question. This space that we're in tonight, it's a fabulous-looking space. It reminds me of a couple of spaces that I know over in Manchester and Preston. Like, we have Mad Lab, we've got Fab Lab, we've got the Media Factory in Preston. What normally happens here Monday to Friday in this space?
So, 9 to 5, this is a co-working environment and an innovation incubator, I'm sorry. It's relatively new in Hull, and it's a space for local digital companies to come and innovate. And
did you get startups come in here as well?
Yeah, we'll be doing a whole startup scheme in the near future. So there's a real mix again of small freelancers, startups, big local companies who are sponsors and come here for...
networking events.
Events and I suppose stuff that's outside the normal norms of what they do. Our point of view here is that every company nowadays is a digital company. They might not think so, but ultimately they are, and they will become ever more so. So it's a place for local companies to really take advantage of the
exciting times in Hull, being the City of Culture. Is that 2017?
2017, City of Culture, and of course the Siemens coming here as well, as they've just announced Greenfield Hull, to start building all of their renewables here.
Brilliant. Well, Mike, thank you very much, and best of luck with the hardware... What do you call it, the hardware group?
It's just a hardware meetup.
Yeah.
So have a look on meetup.com for Hull Digital, and it's the hardware meetup there.
And this building here, this is the C4DI, the Centre for Digital Innovation.
It is. It's and C4DI, and it's
the fruit market area in Hull, near the deep, isn't it?
Just opposite the deep, yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
So you've been listening to me, Alan O'Donoghue, Techno Teacher on Twitter, T-E-K-N-O Teacher. And if you're interested in this, and this is the first time you've been listening to this podcast, there are more than 200 previous episodes that you can find online. They're listed at tinyurl.com/teachcomputingpodcast. If you are not a member of Computing at School, then you really should be. It's a great place you can go. There's a forum. You can find out about a lot of events for teachers all over the country to support them with the introduction of the new computing curriculum. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.